Ciao a tutti, welcome to Angels of Creation podcast. I'm your host, Cristian Mastronato. In this podcast, I bring together my knowledge in complex systems with my experience in managing technology innovation and new product development to explore how successful products, organizations, and ideas emerge. In these episodes, we're meeting Aleksander Poniewierski. Aleksander is partner in EY and he leads the consulting practice for digital and emerging technologies. Not only brings a huge breadth of experience in implementing new innovative solutions, but he managed to condense all this knowledge in a very interesting book titled Speed No Limits in the Digital Era, which will be the center of our conversation today. I'll leave a link to the book in the podcast description for anybody interested afterwards. Our conversation will be greatly focused about partnership, since I believe this is one of the most underrated tools to manage complexity and create value, and Aleksander will guide us into how partnerships evolve across the different industrial revolutions, with several examples from his own and his son's experience and from the latest technological evolution, including generative AI. Generative AI will be touched several times during our conversation. Well, in fact, it's all the rage, in particular when talking about emerging technologies together with digital twins and innovative business models. Finally, we will discuss how organizations are much slower than technologies to evolve and how you need to manage both rabbits and turtles to achieve success. Now, it's time to listen to Aleksander himself sharing his views on such interesting topics. So, let's go. Thanks a lot, Aleksander, for joining the Engines of Creation podcast. It's great to have you here today. I'm really pleased. I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation, and I think we're going to cover some good grounds on a lot of topics related to innovation and how we can grow out a modern business that can really take into account all the new ways of thinking that are relevant for leaders. So I think it would be really great to start from an introduction for our listeners. And so, yeah, it would be great if you can spend a few minutes just to introduce yourself to our listeners and they can hear a little bit more from your own words.
Thank you very much, Christian, for having me here. And good morning, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Aleksander Poniewierski. I'm a partner in EY, responsible for leading digital and emerging technologies for our consulting practice. So it is basically about consultancy practice in the area of all new technologies and also, you know, things like cloud implementation or front office implementation. So it's about new technologies and the platform business.
That's great. I think that really makes you a great guest for our podcast, of course, and I'm sure you're going to have an interesting conversation now. So the main reason because I was interested on inviting you and approached you is because, well, on one end, we have a common friend, Sudha Jamtada. She has been already a guest in this podcast, but because a few years ago, I had the luck to read your book, Speed, and it left me some things that I believe are really relevant. And I think it was really a good chance to share with the listeners of Engines of Creation your message and some of the core elements of your books. And of course, also, I'm sure other things that in the meantime also you want to share. Of course, I will definitely leave the link to your book in the episode description so people want to dive down and learn more. So one of the core takeaway from your book, Speed, is about partnership. And it is something that I very much resonated with when I was reading it. And it is something on the other end that I don't see many people talking clearly about that. While partnership is core element of business, first of all, but furthermore, with the advent of digital technologies, the way we do partnership changed a lot. And I think that would be really interesting to hear from you how you think we should be approaching partnerships nowadays.
Yes, it's really true. I mean, when I thought about digital transformation in 2017, 2018, 19, right, it was very, very big hype about focusing only on emerging technologies, that the new technology can bring you the best possible scenario of changing your business to the better one. But in reality, there's digital transformation is not just the single set of action. Those actions are composed into the very, very different perspective, and you need to really understand very different aspect of this digital transformation. And because of that, I use this acronym SPEED, because you know everything is about the speed for a couple of years. But the SPEED stands for security, which is about not only the cyber security, but security, safety, and the trust. Then the P letter is about partnership, what you rightly mentioned, and I will come back in a second. First is emerging technologies. So about let me say the core engine of this transformation. Then economy, because just emerging technology, it is the oil, right? Maybe the data is oil, but emerging technology is kind of engine. But you need to think about the business model. You need to think about a business at all. And the economy aspect in this digital transformation is not only, the business case, but all elements which you need to think to make your business successful. And the last letter is D, where I talk about digital transformation, especially about the change of the organization, about, the generation change, about the people change, diversity, and all the stuff you must understand when you plan this change. But about partnership, I'm backing to partnership. Yes, it is, in my opinion, one of the fundamental element of digital transformation. As you rightly said, not many people talk about partnership when they focus on the transformation, because they think that transformation is something you can do on your own. But it is not true. You need to look around and find the partners. Even partners regularly you compete on the market, right? Because in today's world, you need to be smart. You need to really listen what your customers are seeking, and you need to really find partners to make things happen. I usually use a kind of story to illustrate what is the change, maybe in a nutshell. So before industrial revolution at all, we had partnerships very much related to the family, right? Family, different kind of tribes, and the partnership was an element of survival. So the first industrial revolution, as you remember, it was all about, Smith and Smith, or, the family A with family B partnership, right? So we had two families, their kids get married, and then they create a new company, right? Or two friends like Procter and Gamble, right? Or inventor and someone who sells something. In the second industrial revolution, the partnership, and to be honest, in the third as well, the partnership was established for a very, very long time from the beginning. So you had two industries, like, for example, Rockefeller with oil, and Ford with the automotive industries, and they seek kind of correlation of their business, and they establish the win-win strategy. So one of the partner gave something into the equation, and second one gave something, and they signed up a contract for years, right? Probably we know better this kind of partnerships when we talk about dealerships, right? So you have the manufacturer like Ford or Mercedes or BMW, and they are looking for dealers who establish their own business for exclusivity, working with the brand. And then, the factory produces a car and dealers are looking for, customers. And this kind of partnership you can observe everywhere around us, because the second and the third industrial revolution is about production, where R&D is the main element of success, and the sales, where the market facing is all about. In the third industrial revolution, where something unbelievable new appears, which was called software business or service business, was a little bit change for a partnership, because the partnership for software companies is all about knowledge transfer. Right, so training, certification, but the concept is very much similar to the second industrial revolution. In fourth industrial revolution, everything is different because of the speed. Right, we have no time to do a handshake for next 20 years because the technology is changing, because the client perception is changing, client needs are changing. So what we are doing right now, we establish a partnerships for one single product or for one single service. So I can compare it to the speed date. It is like to have a partnership for one product, right? Like Apple with Hermes, right? Apple is delivering watch, Hermes is delivering band, and because of the advantages of those two companies, there is a new product. Like in fourth industrial revolution, in customer space, it's called collaboration. So very often you have celebrities, someone who is very, very well known and have millions of fans, and the factory producing shoes or producing champagne or something like that, and the branding and the collaboration is all about new product just for one edition. In digital transformation world, this concept is also similar, because your client is really seeking something very, very new. And as a production of cars, production of shoes, this experience to build this kind of business requires a lot of investment, requires a lot of effort. But you need to react for clients' need. So you are looking for not a supplier, but you are looking for a partner who will co-innovate with you, who will establish a new brand with you. And then if this partnership really works, you can really do an amazing thing. Because suddenly being in the space of whatever library business or manufacturing business, you can, having this kind of partnership, you can be recognized as a very on edge company. So because of the partnership with technology companies, it is not very easy to really change the mindset of people, because the technology companies, they are looking for longer partnership. Traditional companies, especially family-owned business companies, their mindset is to look for longer partnership, the partnership forever. But customers are changing perception. Customers are requiring this change. And because of that, this partnership need to change. It is the logic of the partnership in the four industrial revolution, for one product and for one service.
I think what you are bringing to us is definitely a different perspective. And I like the mindset of having the difference in speed. Talking about speed, how do you see partnership crossing the chiasm, I would say, from the ideation to the sort of the full market uptake?
It is very interesting because traditional crossing the chasm was the process when you, as let me say, smaller company, you leverage a references big company gave you. So probably we all know how the old world works, right? That when you had a client with big logo like Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, I mean the Unilever, I mean the big brands, right? And you deliver product to them, then based on this credential, you credentialize yourself, but also you build a trust for other customers that if the big brand bought you, your product or service is good. And it was the way how the traditional companies crossed the chasm in between, let me say, a smart portion of initial users to the mass market. The mass market requires, in the traditional concept, requires referrals, references. In today's world, if you think about, you know, influencers, for example, people who are, let me say, experts in the community, who are the leaders of the community, who are a face of some products or some services, those people can move you from this minority to the end big user stripe. Right. And very often when you see how today's products looks like, they are not leveraging big brands. They leveraging Instagram influencers or industry experts who are talking positively about the brand, about the product, about the service. And it is enough to do a very big expansion of the product. And this kind of collaboration, this kind of partnership with this kind of people is much more successful than trying to build brand for everyone based on the example working for giants. And I think it is very visible. Maybe we are not shocked any longer because it is day by day, routine today. But it is the way how you cross the chasm into this business.
That's really true. And I think it's very important to try to expand the way we look at partnerships to accelerate our business and our business uptake and go to market. And I can see many cases where not all the companies are approaching necessarily partnership in this way, in the way that you are describing. And so there is still, I believe, a lesson to be learned. Indeed, when we were chatting the days before, you mentioned me a very nice kind of personal experience from your personal involvement, but I think was from your own son's startup. So would it be something you want to share with our listeners as well?
Yeah, it is a nice story because, my son with the friends a couple of months ago, they have established AI-based startup as everyone are trying to do right now, right? And when you see, different area of our life, you can see some correlation in between data, experience, and knowledge. And my son and the team, they built a startup in the very, very interesting area. I mean, in the nutshell, it is like advisory how to pair different kind of products. For example, if you have wine, but the very, very particular wine, what will be the best cheese you can pair with that? Or if you have a bottle of whiskey with the very specific characteristic, what you can, smoke, what kind of cigar you should smoke for this particular whiskey, which pair the best, right? And if you think about, number of products, we talk about thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of different products in this space. So usually, the classical way was to have experts who are sommeliers, who are experts in whiskey. And based on their experience, they were able to really rightly advise you what fits. But in reality, it is all about math. So you can do a kind of reverse engineering, very complicated, but you can do reverse engineering. And for example, if you have, 2 million menus from the restaurant, and in 99% of those menus, the salmon pair with the onion, it means that those tastes, those aromas are fits together. And then having this reverse engineering concept, you can propose and recommend to the customer what is the best advice if you have product 1, 2, 3. And we had a meeting. I helped them organize a meeting with one of our friends who asked them about what is new, what is special in this startup. And they did a kind of test, right? They talked to one of the very, very, very old and famous sommelier, the whiskey sommelier, and he asked them, okay, guys, so I have here a bottle of X, right? And tell me what other 20 are similar, right? What other 20 brands, what other 20, let me say, different bottles I can have the same, very similar taste and aromas? And they just press the button and generates like 20 or 40 others. And this guy said, oh my God, I mean, it is unbelievable. You know, I spent 20 years or 40 years in this bar, and I recognize that what I learned for these 20 years, you can right now advise to the customer just pressing button in app. Right. Of course, this is just a simple example that the big companies, they are so, let me say, blind for innovation that sometimes they are unable to really recognize what is happening. At the end of this discussion, this big brand said, guys, we want to sign up a partnership with you. We want all our products be in your app, right? And those guys, like 20 years old, 20, 22, 30 years old guys, they said, oh my God, this is great. I mean, we have a big brand partnering with us, having no revenue from the startup at all. But they see a potential that market is changing, and being right now as a partner will eliminate the situation that we will compete as the enemy in the near future. So I think, you know, sometimes leaders, they are unable to really feel what is happening, right? I observe the same, how to say, approach when we talk right now about generative AI. Because, you know, the metaverse is unbelievably great, but it is very complicated, right? The blockchain is unbelievable, fantastic, but very complicated, very specialized. But generative AI is about, you know, day by day procedures, about, you know, something we do every day hundreds of times. And then when you talk to leaders, when you talk to C-level the companies, and when you show them that the group of young people can be a competitor on the market because they have tools which are able to answer whatever question, and they are able to develop the output in the way, you know, the traditional company spends hours to do an output and hundreds of thousands of dollars, they recognize that the world is changing. And in this example, my son example, I'm giving this example to really see how this world and how fast this world is changing.
I resonated a lot about and the fact that leaders have to feel how things are changing. And that's so true. There is an element of being able to ride the wave. It is an art more than a science. So you can have a lot of inputs, and you can have a lot of, there is a lot of information probably helping you there. But in the end, it's really about you feeling where the market is going, where the world is going, and being able to understand the next steps and what to do next, which is really very much about riding the wave sort of things. But yeah, this feeling concept, it is very valuable. Since you touched about that, I like to move now kind of nicely into the emerging technologies field that you also touched in your book, as you mentioned, around the first E. You touched a bit about generative AI, and you also mentioned blockchain. So how do you see the landscape shaping over the next years? Of course, now everybody is talking about generative AI, or this is the big thing. But I have this feeling, and I'm sure you have as well, have been being in the industry for quite some time. I mean, there was the same. I mean, blockchain was supposed to change the world. Maybe it will, but so far, we have a very limited impact of blockchain beyond the financial speculation. I'm not saying there is no impact, but the impact has been very limited. And so I'm kind of thinking, what's your perspective? I'm thinking about that, especially also on your broader knowledge around cyber-physical systems and IoT, okay? So there are probably some narrow areas where generative AI can provide clear benefit on, obviously. But more as a sort of as a disruptive technology that it's coming along and changing everything. What's your perspective on that? What's your take?
I don't have a crystal ball, right? I'm usually when you ask this kind of question, it is the first answer of everyone, right? I don't have crystal ball, but I know one thing, that technology follow habits. So if you have a habit, if you have a routine to do something, and suddenly you find a technology which without additional cost or with very low cost can improve, you know, the way how you do things. And secondly, everybody around you use the same or similar thing, it is like a revolution in one day. If you are trying to convince people to use the technology and they have no habits to use this technology, or they have completely different habit, right? And they believe that this change is not, let me say, a revolution, but evolution, it took a lot more. So in this, let me say, emerging technology era, it is easy to do a comparison in between a metaverse and generative AI, right? Because both technologies right now are, let me say, on the top, right? So in Web 3.0, whatever we talk about, you know, the blockchain concept or decentralized systems or, you know, all everything related to DAO, the habit is not here. I mean, you know, we live in the organization managed by people, managed by processes. And when you want to describe someone that there is a new business model, new way of running organization like DAO, it requires a lot of education. When we talk about, you know, day-by-day routine, like, for example, you know, you have your own small business and every day you publish an article, you know, how to, right? Let's back to this example of my son's startup, right? Every day they publish an article, for example, how to create a martini or how to drink a whiskey or how to smoke cigar, right? So they spend a couple of hours to create a text, to translate this text for a couple of languages, to find a good picture, to process this picture, right, and so on. And it took, let me say, 3-4 hours every day to create a content, then create a snapshot and publish on LinkedIn or on Twitter or something like that. And suddenly you have something you pay $20 or even you can have for free. You just prompt. And you have the same output, even better output, right? In the very structured way. You can ask, you know, the Experience Cloud, Adobe Experience Cloud, create me or show me, you know, the picture merge with another picture. And you have suddenly, you know, another component. Then you put everything into ChatGPT, and you can prompt, create a web page for me. And you just copy paste and you have in 2 minutes. So if you ask a young person, like the young entrepreneur, like my son, why you want to use it, he will answer without a second, because it makes sense, right? It is much easier. I mean, the output is even better and it cost me nothing. So probably next 3-4 months, if I ask him, okay, so you don't have right now ChatGPT, can you reverse to the previous habit to create this content? He will say, no, it is useless, right? And because I have a tool and I want to use this tool. So the difference in between the first, I mean, the Web 3.0 example and this, let me say, generative AI example is the value, no investment. I talk about the financial investment, but also, you know, the training investment, knowledge gathering investment, and much better results. So it is why I really believe when we see emerging technologies today, we will see the technologies required none or very minimal effort from users to use. It is the first, let me say, area. The second area is the area on the production operational sites, right? And of course, here, you know, the ChatGPT concept is really not very suitable. But you know, digital twins. I remember, you know, in 2015, 16, when I talk about digital twins, it was really, really difficult to create digital twin, and it was very, very difficult to show the value from that. Today, you can apply a physical model, a physical behavior model, on the real-time data coming from the sensors, and you can have this, let me say, digital twin working for you. You can do simulations. You can see how easy it is to really create another 100 different kind of digital twins and experiment which one is the best for your business, and then do a big investment in the physical world, right? So I think this technology is changing in the way that companies and users, end users, professionals, they are looking for technology which can bring a value without big investments, working in scale and being sustainable. And I think it is where we are going when we talk about emerging technologies. Those elements like scale, simplicity, you know, the speed of reaction, and also a value, big value at the output of using those technologies. No one wants to really wait 12 or 24 months for results. They want to have results tomorrow. They want to see, you know, savings or, you know, revenue generated next week. And this is how technology companies are thinking about emerging technologies today. It is what I observe.
And I was thinking earlier at your first statement around the fact of the impacts on habits. And again, using the example of blockchain as a technology that didn't fully exploded as expected, still the impacts you can see are really the impacts in the areas where actually it removed the friction. And for example, one of the areas is the usage in some developing countries where the banking system doesn't work versus or is non-existent or similarly remittance of money remittance from sort of developed country to more developing countries and things like that. So there are areas where, for example, as you mentioned, the fact that you can replace a habit with something that is easier, that's really the value and the potential there. The example you gave us, it also interesting because I think it prepares for the next step. Okay, the next step is the business modeling, what you call economy in your book. I'm particularly curious to hear your take on asymmetry of information, which I believe is another core element, and so which complement the core element you mentioned so far on the emerging technology side. So how do you see the asymmetry of information play out a role into sort of the emergence of new business models?
Yeah, I think it is crucial, especially this dynamic asymmetry of information when you have data coming from the sensors in real time. It makes a huge difference. And I think 5 years back, when I talk about dynamic asymmetry of information and I try to convince people to think about data monetization, they really struggle with understanding what I talk about. Today, dynamic asymmetry of information, so maybe the definition, so the asymmetry of information is when I know something and you don't know. Then in between we have information gap. It is just the basic element of probably all businesses, right? And if the gap is big, the margin I can generate on that is big. If the gap in between our information about our knowledge is small, the price you can pay for this gap is also small. Dynamic asymmetry of information is when you generate very very big gaps existing for moments. I mean, usually I use the example of Google Maps. Right. So when you open Google Map and when you put a destination, the Google Map knows better where you should go. Right. Because of the information from different parts of the road, the Google Maps can advise you the best, the fastest road, for example. So if you follow this route, you will approach your destination faster. And probably if Google Maps will ask you from the beginning, not now, but from the beginning, to pay for this advice, you will pay, depends on the value you see. Right. Of course, right now they cannot monetize that directly. They monetize indirectly. So having this dynamic asymmetry of information, you can create different business models. And the model which exists today in 99% of all businesses is called a trading model, right? When you have an auction or the adware or whatever, and you ask different users to give the best price for something, right? Like for advertising, for example, and then position their product on the list based on the best bet. What it is? It is exactly the asymmetry, dynamic asymmetry of information when someone is looking for a product and then you ask different suppliers to give the best price to position your product on the list, right? And you as a platform, as a trader, let me say, you know exactly what this particular user is looking for and you know what kind of suppliers you have and you can leverage on that. In the new world, let me say, I will call it ChatGPT world or generative AI world. This model, this mechanism will be even more, precise, and companies will make much more, having this dynamic asymmetry of information. I can imagine a situation that you have your ChatGPT assistant, right? Generative AI assistant. And if you pay, amount of money for in particular time when everybody generate the same output or want to have the same output because the output has a value, like for example, what should be a right way to go home, then you pay less. But when you buy a premium, a dynamic premium, you will have much more precise answer, right, from the ChatGPT kind of thing. So the generative AI and the new technologies combined together, they can leverage on this asymmetry a lot. And probably if you think about the insurance market in the past, which based on asymmetry of information, it was very complicated to create a product and make this product successful because the number of, let me say, steps in the procedure was very complicated. Underwriting, different kind of actuarial services. Right now, with the speed of computers, you can have all those operations made in the second. And then the output you can really, really manage. I mean, you can distribute based on the business logic. And I think this dynamic asymmetry of information concept will be a booster for a new business model. It's not existing today. It is the short answer.
Yeah. And I know there is a lot of complexity behind that. So yeah, that's really the short answer. And I mean, it's a whole chapter in your book and entire books, to be fair, and libraries, I would say, written on this topic. So yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. But it was very meaningful. Jumping to another side of digital transformation now, as you know, the background of the podcast is about sort of looking into patterns, and there are recurring patterns in digital transformation. And I in your book, you mentioned one that I always find very interesting, which is Martech's law. I would be really curious for you to explain what it is, which is, of course, about the definition. But even more importantly, why do we have this? Why is it so difficult to change an organization?
Yes, I think it is the clue of all the failures, that technology is evolving, but ability to absorb knowledge by humankind is very limited. I mean, people need to touch to understand. People need to see to believe, and unless it is religion. So if you talk to, and it is my position, I talk to many CEOs every week. When I explain them what is the technology number one, technology number two, usually their imagination is limited. And probably for me, for you, a vast majority of technologies are easy to understand. But for example, when I have a meeting with someone who wants to explain me quantum computing, how quantum computer really works, I have limit. I am unable to fully understand what is this concept about. Of course, I understand the concept, but I have hundreds of different questions. How really it works? How, what I can do with this computer? How can I really change my business, right? I can imagine, I have a vision, but to really change a company, being responsible for this company, I need to take a very, very serious decision. And the Martech law is about exactly this element, that technology is changing very fast. Every day you have something new, right? Probably we will have ChatGPT-5, ChatGPT-6, and other, let me say, numbers, and very, very new functionalities, abilities, possibilities we will have. But you know, the speed of change in the human space is not so fast. I will tell you more. If you reach the limit, the human is more resistance. So if you start talking to someone about the change, until one point, you know, the C-level individual is able to imagine the change, but then she or he is behaving like a turtle, right? Trying to protect what is unknown. And I think it is the core of this concept, that you know, speeding with technology, we need not a traditional line of change, but we need to have S-curve. S-curve means that you cannot you know, put in the same box, you know, fast moving rabbit and the slow moving turtle. You need to divide those two animals, and you need to treat them differently. It is like a technology and the change of organization. You need to find the, let me say, synergies. You need to build bridges in between those two animals, rather putting those two animals into one plot. And I think it is exactly about this concept. We need to find S-curve rather exponential following technology trend.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very good insight. I would have probably hundreds of questions following up what you just said, but I'm unconscious of time. Yeah, you gave us a lot of food for thought. So I would move to the final question, which is the usual question that I ask all my guests, all the guests of Engines of Creation podcast. So What are for you the characteristics of a leader who embraces complexity?
So I have two main attributes of today's leader. Let me say this digital leader, whatever, or advanced leader. So the one is ability to learn. We need to, as a leaders, as the technology leaders, as the digital transformation leaders, as the leader of today, we need to learn. We need to adopt knowledge. We need to be open for innovation coming from different sources, right? Of course, at the same time, we need to have the criticism, right? I mean, our internal criticism about what we hear. And the second thing is, in my opinion, very, very important, is ability to implement. Because usually when I talk to people, they are very open for innovation, to hear about the new things, to really be inspired. But only the small fraction of the leaders have the skill to implement, to be patient, to really seek for results. And this execution, this implementation, is a skill. And when you connect those two, like ability to learn and ability to execute, I think those two are very, very important. I want to say the success factor of the future leaders.
Continuous improvement is fundamental. But it's also a lot about doing. And in that sense, you also improve by doing things. If you don't do things, you don't really know if what you're learning makes sense at all, or it is just a sort of knowledge that you put in your brain without any real impact. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So thanks a lot, Alexander. There was really, really great chat. And you gave us so much to think about. And of course, for the readers that wants to dive down more in a lot of the things that you touched today, again, I just remind everybody that there is your book, Speed. I'm going to put the link in the podcast description. So thank you very much for the time you dedicated to us, and hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Christian. Thank you very much, all. And I hope it was useful. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Engines of Creation. I hope you enjoyed learning from Alexander about partnerships, emerging technologies, business models, and digital transformation. If you did and you want to learn more, be sure to follow Engines of Creation and leave us a rating and a review. And don't hesitate to share this episode on social media and with friends and colleagues who might be interested. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to reach out to enginesofcreation@masterrenato.co. I'll be glad to continue the conversation. We'll be back in July with another episode. Arrivederci!